Well, today is one of those days that's a little bit of everything. It's Father's Day, right? It's Father's Day. It's the Sunday after annual conference, which we've talked about. It is the Sunday in between two pastors. We have a senior pastor that has just retired, and we have a new pastor that will be coming next week. So in light of that, I have dubbed it biannual associate pastor Sunday, because is biannual the right word? Every 2 years? No, we're not doing this again in 2 years. No, this has been a repeated pattern just for a little while, but it's all going to be good, right? It's all going to be good. But no, today has a lot of things going on. Last Sunday, even though we didn't really discuss it much within the worship service because of our celebration of Pastor John and his retirement and all, last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. It was the day that we as church, along the Christian calendar, celebrate as being the day that the Holy Spirit was breathed upon the disciples and those that were gathered listening to the Word of God being preached. And so today is the first Sunday after Pentecost, which is actually a thing, but it's also Trinity Sunday, which is the day that we, on the Christian calendar, that we look at the Trinity and we try to learn more about what the Trinity is and what that means and how we are going to live into the awareness of the Trinity of God. So with all of those things going on, as I was planning on this sermon and trying to figure out what it was that I should talk about with all of these various things going on in the life of the church, not to mention the things that are going on just in the world at large, I was really struggling with what that actually should be. I didn't really know where to focus. So I decided, well, I'm going to go to the Revised Common Lectionary, because that is a good place to go when you don't know what else to do, right? Not exactly. The lectionary is suggested scriptures to focus on and to study on and to pray on that are offered up every week. So every Sunday, there's a different set of scriptures that are offered up, and sometimes pastors choose to preach on those. So I thought, well, it's Trinity Sunday. I'll choose one of those. There's all these other things going on, but I'll choose one of the scriptures from the lectionary, because that will help me sort of hone in on something specific to go to. So being Trinity Sunday, I chose Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and I'll tell you in a little bit why I chose it, but I do want to read this one thing that one commentator said, and it is, to understand the Trinity is to understand God's presence with us and our lives with one another. So I want you to hear that again. To understand the Trinity is to understand God's presence with us and our lives with one another. So there's that. My job today is to help us understand the Trinity, one of the most mysterious and difficult things in Christian doctrine to possibly try to understand. And that's going to help us understand God's presence, which we're supposed to just walk away from here and have complete and full knowledge of God's presence. That's not a big task at all. In a, what do we have left? 10 minutes. that's a little daunting. So if you walk away with a complete and total understanding of the most mysterious thing that we as Christians try to grapple with, please see me tomorrow and explain it to me. Our scripture lesson is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. May God bless the reading of this word. So with all of those things going on in the back of my mind about what this Sunday actually is, and I did pick this scripture weeks ago, I think the reason that it drew me in, the reason that this particular scripture spoke to me, is actually that very first verse. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. With God. Peace with God. That's the part that really pulled me in. Having peace with God. When I was in high school and early college years, I ended up being able to be a lifeguard, and I had to go through all of the Red Cross lifeguard training stuff that they did. I assume it's the same still today. I'm not, that surely it's changed some. But what they taught you through that training was that if there is a swimmer that is in distress, if there is somebody that is actively in distress, you have to be very careful when you go to help them, when you go to help save them. Because they're scared, and they're maybe flailing around, their legs may be pointed straight down instead of being able to float and sort of bounce and sort of go with the flow, letting that buoyancy of the water help support them. You know, there's things that just happen inside a person's mind in that very scary moment when you are fearful that you are drowning, you're fighting for your life. One of the things they also do is fight the lifeguard that is coming to save them. They're not trying to hurt anybody. They're just trying their best to figure out how to continue to live, right? It can be very difficult to save somebody's life as a lifeguard when you're trying to get to them, to save them. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, I think that's probably a pretty good, I don't know if the word's a metaphor or an analogy, because I don't understand the difference, but it's one of those two things. And I think it's a pretty good analogy for what the Christian life really is like. And I forget who says it, but there's a woman preacher that I used to hear on the radio all the time who would say, you have to find out what the therefore is there for. So if you'll back up to that scripture, hold on to that lifeguard analogy. I'm going to come back to it. Back up on that scripture, verse 1, and the very first word is therefore. Therefore. Therefore, since we are justified by faith. The person that I was referring to on the radio that said, when you hear the word therefore, she said, you got to figure out what the therefore is there for, right? You got to know why it's there, because there's something that was before it that says, okay, because of all of this, therefore this, right? So this first four chapters of Romans actually tells us a whole lot. There's a lot going on in those first four chapters that bring Paul to this moment where he does, in fact, say, therefore, we have peace with God. It's because of all of this stuff that we can have peace with God. And I believe that the direct opposite of peace, in my understanding, would be war. So if therefore is there, it is because of all of this other stuff that Paul talks about, building up to chapter 5. And it is therefore because of this that we have that peace. So I was trying to figure out a best summary for four chapters so that we didn't sit here and read all four chapters and try to decipher all of that this morning as well. And this was a summary that I found. It says, Paul demonstrates both Jews and Gentiles have fallen short of the glory of God. In Romans 3 and 4, Paul announces God's response to humanity's plight. Because of Christ's righteousness, humanity now stands justified, made right by God's grace. There's no value in boasting in anyone's attention to the law. Paul goes on, because a person is justified by Christ's faith apart from works prescribed by the law. So essentially, since all of humanity falls short of living a life of perfect love, it is through Christ's perfect love that we are restored into relationship with God. So that's easy. There's nothing confusing or convoluted about that at all. So I had to, maybe that was easy for you guys, I had to really translate that for myself, to really break it down and to figure out what on earth all of these chapters, all of these verses, all of these beautiful words are really getting at. Therefore, since we all fail to love perfectly, it is through Christ and Christ alone, it's through his perfect love for us that keeps us from warring with God, that keeps us from fighting with God. Since we all fail to love perfectly, it is through Christ and Christ alone that keeps us from fighting with God. Or, when you are drowning, don't fight the lifeguard. Let them wrap their arms around you and pull you to safety. Mark Westmoreland, if you don't know who he is, he was senior pastor here several years ago now. And when he was here, he did a study on Romans, and he talked about how Romans has to do with the mystery of salvation. It has to do with the mystery of salvation and a practical way of life. And he said that Paul is a practical theologian, that his theology had a practical purpose, and that was to deal with life. And Paul's practical concerns were rooted in a theology that shaped and guided his life. It's a theology that is based on God's grace. It is based on the mystery and the power of the cross. It's based on a new humanity in Jesus Christ. It is based on the nature of sin and the groaning of all creation as a result of that sin. It is a theology based on the Holy Spirit and on our Christian identity. Paul then speaks to practical concerns, a wholeness of life, a fullness of life, a guide for relationships within the church, and a guide for relationships amid diversity, the integrity of a unique Christian ethic. Also speaks to a way of life somewhere between rigid legalism and everything goes. We try to find value and we try to find meaning in our life by either building up possessions or acquiring stuff, or even sometimes we try to do it by giving stuff away or by following the rules or by defining ourselves by how we love others. Sometimes we try to value and give ourselves meaning by how we serve through the church or how we give our money or how we tend to spiritual disciplines. We find ourselves elevating ourselves up and over and above God, competing with God. In verse 10 of chapter 5, just a few verses later, Paul uses this phrase. He says, "We are enemies of God." He doesn't stop with that, but he says, "For if while we were enemies," my translation of what that means is, while we were drowning and fighting the lifeguard. While we were enemies. Chapter 3, verse 20. So if you back up a little bit to the beginning, a little more towards the beginning of Romans, it says, "No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin." Through the law, we become conscious of our fight to do it on our own. The law brings the mirror in front of us and shows us what we are fighting. The law shows us where we are struggling. The law shows us, and again, this is my translation, shows us that while we are gulping in gallons and gallons of water and we're flailing about, it shows us that actually in that moment, that is when we realize that we are drowning. That is the moment that we realize that we need God. But as a result of Christ's faith, now I'm going to pause there for a moment because I want you to look at the scripture that's printed here in our bulletin. It says, "Since we are justified by faith." That's a bit ambiguous, but it most likely means that it is Christ's faith through which we are justified. It is Christ's faith. When you look at the context before this particular phrase, and you look at where Paul is going and what he's been building, we understand it to be Christ's faith that saves us, not our own. Through Christ's faith, we are at peace. We are at peace with God. So again, here we are. It's Father's Day. It's the Sunday after annual conference. It's all of these things that we've lifted up and talked about that are going on within the life of this church. But I know that there's so much more going on in each and every one of your own lives. So many more things that you are wrestling with. So many things that may be weighing on you. Some of you are dealing with new diagnoses. Some of you are dealing with heartbreak. Some of you are dealing with broken relationships or addictions, difficulties of all sorts. We can flail around and we can fight. We can fight God. We can try to power ourselves through all of life's struggles. We can be at war, or we can be at peace. Now, that doesn't mean that the hard times don't come. That doesn't mean that the hard times don't come. But we can be at peace with God. What that means is that we have hope. We have hope. We have hope in knowing that through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have the grace of God covering us. We have the love of Christ that has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen.